And here we are. And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game. No time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
Everyone out there, it is the NFL Exporter checking in Monday, October 13th. Week 6 of the NFL is just about over. I'm quite sure there are a lot of people out there like myself who this game is big for. Not only am I a San Francisco 49ers fan, but also I am 12 points ahead in my matchup this week. I am playing against Brian Quick, the wide receiver for the St. Louis Rams, so obviously I need the 49ers defense. I need my defense to make sure that he doesn't get any more than 11 points. I also have my man Michael Barron. Shout him out on Facebook. He's got Phil Dawson going tonight for the San Francisco 49ers. He is 15 points short of a victory, so obviously he needs the 49ers to make some things happen for him as well. As always, make sure to follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter. That's NFLEXPORTER. Or get with me on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. I tell you, we've really been getting it jumping over there lately. Have had a lot of people join me the last week or so, and we've been getting it in, been giving expert advice out for a lot of fantasy football matchups, and certainly you know that this is the latter portion of our show in collaboration with the Master Plan. Shouting out my man, Mr. ATM, Mr. Cash Out, Jerry Taylor, me and him, as well as Victor Gardner, shouting him out as well. I got to find a nickname for Victor. But we do the Master Plan each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We go through all the NFL games. You certainly like to tune into that. You get three different outlooks on the games. To give you some fantasy football advice. And then we come back on Monday nights. Right now, you're on the extra point. That's why it's called that. We're going to go ahead and kick it through the uprights tonight. And, man, it was a great show yesterday. We certainly were dead on with a lot of predictions, which pretty much we are each and every week. I know that the shows that are more notable and right in front of your eyes, easy to get to, shows on ESPN, NFL Network, Fox Sports, things of that nature. Certainly not knocking my colleagues or any of my other analysts on those shows. But if you listen to me, the NFL Exporter, if you listen to my shows on a weekly basis, I can guarantee you 100% that my analysis, my predictions are dead on accurate, a lot of times more than these guys who you see on the TV shows. And so don't overlook it just because it's on Blog Talk Radio. You are certainly getting top-of-the-line analysis and breakdown of these games, just like you see on those shows. The call-in number to the show is 347-637-3220. And let's go ahead and get the show started today by hopping into our matchup, seeing how the predictions that we had yesterday on the Master Plan fared out. The first game that we're going to take a look at today is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. In that one, not a ton of action. I know that Blake Bortles, the rookie quarterback for Jacksonville, had his best day as a pro, 32 out of 46, 336 yards, one touchdown, also had an interception and a fumble. I didn't recommend that anybody put Bortles in their lineup. I'm certainly not going to do that moving forward. I think that Jacksonville's team as a whole is certainly going to limit what they can do. I think possibly, you know, if they play Tampa Bay, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Buccaneers, you know, some of these teams who obviously aren't going to get that many wins this year, the Jets, then you may consider Bortles if you are just absolutely desperate at quarterback. I think the big one that we've seen for Jacksonville yesterday pop through was Cecil Shorts III. He did get the start yesterday. You know, he's been battling hamstring injuries pretty much since he came into the NFL. But nonetheless, he had 10 catches, 103 yards. Obviously, that is huge for PPR, and so I think he's a guy that you want to take a look at moving forward. Again, in Jacksonville, it's uncertain. This on a depth chart, Shorts is listed ahead of Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, the other rookies that they have on their team, Marquise Lee. And so it was just one game, one body of work. We'll certainly see if that continues. Looking at what Tennessee did, Charlie Whitehurst, nothing notable. Didn't even throw a touchdown pass. Bishop Sankey continues to be irrelevant. I mean, he gave you 18 rushes for 61 yards. Jacksonville's pretty tough against the run, but a lot of people were considering or put Bishop Sankey in their lineup because of all the buys and injuries and matchups that were going on. And for the second straight week, really didn't do much. He had 2 points. The week before against Cleveland, 6 points yesterday. And so even in goal line situations, they were bringing in Jackie Battle. And so I don't know. At this point, Sankey is a guy who I'm very reluctant on. The leading receiver for Tennessee yesterday was Justin Hunter, 3 catches, 77 yards. Again, you know, that's okay. You know, you certainly like the yards on only 3 receptions, but Kendall Wright, the Titans wide receiver, did not even have a catch yesterday. I was happy about that. I played against him, Kendall Wright, in my fantasy league yesterday, so I couldn't have been more happy to see him with a nice big fat donut on the screen. But nonetheless, Charlie Whitehurst, again, you know, both of these teams, like I said, not a lot of guys that just, you know, really have a lot of value. Delanie Walker, another decent game, you know, 50 yards or so. And so this is certainly matchup based. The biggest point score in this game, and I had them going yesterday. I have not been able to find a strong defense to stick with in my NFL.com league. So like many people, when it comes to kickers and defense special teams, you can certainly get by moving around week to week and finding good matchups. And I did that. I went with Tennessee's defense yesterday against a rookie. I certainly got off to a bad start, was worried about it when Jacksonville drove straight down the football field in the first quarter and scored a touchdown. But after that, things kind of fell into place. They got in for an interception, which they really should have returned for a touchdown. The guy ended up slipping on his feet on the return. They also blocked a field goal and got a fumble recovery. So their defense had 11 points. Moving on to our next game, man, this was a big one here. We had the Ravens put it on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 48-17. This game was 38-0 at halftime. Joe Flacco, man, this guy came out yesterday and flung the football all around the football field. I tell you, we've been hearing it ever since preseason. I think you've certainly seen it yesterday. Man, his arm has been extremely live this season, and we've talked about it. Much better weapons in the passing game. You've seen Torrey Smith become fantasy football relevant again. I don't think it did anybody any justice because I'm quite sure nobody, with the exception of maybe Baltimore Ravens fans or some people who, you know, just wanted to go on a hunch. If you think about what I said yesterday on the show, I did tell people who own Torrey Smith that this was possibly a game that he could do some things for you. And he came out and had 17 points, 55 receiving yards, 2 touchdown receptions. Steve Smith, that was another guy that I wanted to make sure was going to be consistent after getting off to a smoking start the first 4 weeks. I had a down week last week against Indianapolis, which I predicted as well. But came back yesterday strong, 5 catches, 110 yards, 1 TD. So he's continuing his pace. I think right now I've seen enough. It's 5 out of 6 games. It's not a fluke. Steve Smith, I tell you, man, this guy, for owners who were able to pick him up in latter rounds or off the waiver wire, what a gem you have there. Looking at Tampa Bay, we talked about Doug Martin. I know my people over on Facebook, we got it in hard yesterday before I went on the air for the master plan. And I've advised owners on Twitter as well. Those are the two social networks where I'm plugging night and day. I told you that right now with Doug Martin, if this guy is not going to get in the end zone, if you don't think that he's going to get in the end zone, sit him on the bench. He is irrelevant right now. 11 rushes, 45 yards. I mean, come on, let's get serious here. This guy isn't even giving you 75 to 80 all-purpose yards. And so You know, C.J. Spiller's another guy we're going to get to later in the show, but I'm telling you, there are some players that you got to seriously consider right now, either packaging up in a trade the first moment that they have a good game or cutting ties with these guys. You know, having these guys just sit on your bench and take a roster space for other players who, you know, basically can do the same thing. I mean, this guy's giving you 4 points, you know, every single week. He scored one touchdown this year. This guy's a waste. Lewis Murphy, that's a top waiver wire pickup that I advised people on a couple weeks ago. Now, granted, after his game in Pittsburgh, he was quiet last week in New Orleans, but came back yesterday, 72 yards, had a touchdown. I told owners that Mike Glennon was the backup quarterback, so Lewis Murphy, the number three receiver, he was in there while Mike Evans is recouping from that groin injury. That's the guy that Glennon was going to target. Also, real quick, too, I forgot to mention Justin Forsett. That has been a heavy discussion over on Facebook with me and, you know, guys that I'm getting in over there. A lot of people trying to figure out this backfield. And it is rather obvious that Justin Forsett is your guy. He had 111 yards yesterday on just 14 carries. Again, he was a backup in Houston to Arian Foster. And so with new head coach Gary Kubiak over there, he understands that zone blocking scheme. And then as I was also advising owners, he gets in on passing formations. So sometimes even if the play originally is not a pass, they're going to call an audible if Joe Flacco sees something favorable. And I don't expect for him to run for 100 yards every single week. This was a game that Baltimore got up in 38-0. At halftime, so you knew that running the football was going to be what they were going to do. I would say my biggest surprise out of this one is the fact that Joe Flacco didn't go for the record. I'm shocked about that. This guy had 5 TD passes in the first half. I'm surprised he didn't try to get 7. So I guess maybe a little bit of professionalism involved, or you know, maybe a little bit of not wanting to run up the score. But man, Joe Flacco is a guy in fantasy football, who certainly worked his way up my quarterback rankings. I think I had him at 17 by the time that the live drafts were about to take place, and we're seeing it. This guy's a viable start. I had someone hit me up on Facebook yesterday, and they were feeling bad that they had him on the bench. I said, well, look, don't feel too bad. Think about how many people had Tom Brady and Cam Newton sitting on the bench yesterday, and both of those guys performed at a high level. Let's move it over to the Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. Peyton Manning does what he always does. Now, he didn't have the yardage that you would anticipate, but he had his normal 3 TD passes. I don't know any other quarterback where that's the norm, like that's the bar. Like, you expect Manning to always have 3 TD passes or more. I think the biggest surprise coming out of this one was running back Ronnie Hillman. Now, he had 100 yards rushing, also gave you another point there for his production in the receiving game. But what's interesting is 24 rushes, you know. Now, when Monte Ball was in there, who was the starter for the Denver Broncos, this guy never got 24 rushes. He barely even got maybe 16. You know, he was always getting anywhere from, you know, 11 to 12, these low number of rushes. And so I think that Monte Ball owners have to be a little bit wary right now, myself included. I have him in my NFL.com league. I was a little bit afraid of what I seen yesterday would possibly take place, which is Ronnie Hillman is faster. He's been in the NFL longer. We've heard coming from Broncos from out in Denver that Hillman is a guy who hits the hole quicker, that Monte Ball was kind of being hesitant and wasn't hitting the holes as quickly as you would want him to. And so Ronnie Hillman, certainly I had somebody hit me on Facebook yesterday. They were asking, should they go with Sammy Watkins or Hillman? And I told them Hillman. You know, I didn't particularly like the matchup against the Jets and their seventh-ranked run defense, but you knew the opportunities were going to be there, and the hope was 60 to 70 all-purpose yards and a touchdown in the red zone. And so even though he didn't hit pay dirt, he certainly had a good game. And next week at San Francisco, another game that is not favorable nonetheless. If he's going to get that many carries, then anything is possible. Again, though, if you listen to Peyton Manning after the game was over, and I think this was a huge reason why Hillman got so many carries, he said that the Jets were taking their linebackers out of the box and spreading them out to cover tight ends and kind of get in position to stop Peyton Manning's quick slot passes. And so Manning kind of chuckling said, well, hell, If you're going to basically leave nobody in the middle of the field behind your defensive line, I'm going to run the football. And so Ronnie Hillman owners had to be happy to have him step in on the week, give him double digits. Demaryius Thomas, he's in his groove now. We were never worried about him. You know, when he got off to the slow start, you knew that this guy is a star in this league. 10 catches, 124 yards, a touchdown. He's just going to continue to put up big numbers on a week-in and week-out basis. Obviously, there may be a week or two that he doesn't stud out, but Peyton Manning trusts this guy and what it's like, basically. And so, great game for Demaryius Thomas. The beast in the situation, and this was one of my top five starts of the week. Hit it right on the head, Julius Thomas. You knew that the Jets did not have linebackers or safeties who could match up with this guy. Right now, he is on a scorching pace. He's got 9 touchdown receptions this year. He had 2 more yesterday, and he had the sound bite of the week. If you caught the highlights yesterday after he scored his second touchdown, he got up saying, "It's so easy, easy." And he's certainly making it look that way. 9 touchdown passes through the first 5 games of the season. Rob Gronkowski has the record with 17. That record's coming down. There's no question about it. I mean, Julius Thomas is on pace for about 24 touchdowns this year, and that's unheard of. But with Peyton Manning at quarterback and the nightmare that he is for safeties and linebackers, that is going to continue. The surprise for Denver now, this is another player that I think people may want to think about letting go of is maybe Wes Welker. Since he's come back from this performance enhancement drug issue, and who knows, you know, maybe that has an effect on him. Maybe he's not playing as well as he did while he was on that drug. But he's being overlooked. Let's face it, Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas are Peyton Manning's top 2 weapons. And Emmanuel Sanders, let me tell you something. He does not drop the football. I don't know if anybody has noticed that, but more than anything, he does not drop the football. And that is something that Peyton Manning absolutely loves. And so right now, Wes Welker, kind of by default, I think if he had been there from the beginning of the season, that he would have been able to be in the mix a little bit more. Now, like Demaryius Thomas, it could be a situation where Wes Welker, Peyton Manning decides, you know what, let me spend a week getting this guy involved in the offense. And I don't doubt that. You know, he's a veteran. I know that Peyton Manning wants to make sure that all of his key cogs are in place. But right now, Wes Welker is certainly the guy who's on the bottom of the totem pole. For the Jets, wasn't much to talk about. We knew how this one was going to go. Eric Decker, as I predicted yesterday on my show, I said that there was no way he was going to miss this game against his old team, the Denver Broncos, and that he was going to find the end zone, and that's exactly what he did. He only had 54 receiving yards, but we've seen it time and time again. When players play against their old, former team, especially if they felt like the team should have kept him, and that was the case with Decker. If you look at his production 2 years that Peyton Manning was there, you certainly would have to say I guess Denver couldn't afford him. They had their own reasons why they didn't want to keep him. But nonetheless, he came out 11 points. That's not something you expect. I think if Decker is fully back healthy, he's a flex play. You know, Geno Smith is desperate for targets in the passing game. But, it's going to be week to week. Other than that, it wasn't nothing to talk about. I would say the one thing I am surprised at is that the leading rusher for the Jets yesterday was quarterback Geno Smith with 11 yards. Where was Chris Ivory? Where was Chris Johnson? Chris Johnson, he's another guy that you've got to part ways with him. You know, I seen somebody have him in yesterday in their lineup in one of my other leagues, and why bother? I mean, he's behind Chris Ivory on the depth chart. This New York Jets team is done. The morale is going to sink into the gutter more and more each and every week. Next, we have the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. This was one that I called as well for the Lions. I told you if you had a better option than Matt Stafford, start him without Reggie Bush, without Calvin Johnson. If they decided to double cover Golden Tate or take him away, which is exactly what Minnesota did. Tate only had 5 catches for 44 yards. Matt Stafford really didn't have anybody to throw the football to. The leading receiver ended up being Theo Reddick, a running back with 75 yards and a touchdown. Quite sure nobody had him in their lineup. And so until Matt Stafford can get Megatron back and get Reggie Bush back to go along with Golden Tate and Eric Ebron and some of these other guys, he's going to be a guy that you want to watch his matchup on a week-in and week-out basis. Okay, give me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Just got one little technical error I need to fix here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, was able to get that fixed. Sorry about that there. But, yeah, we were just speaking on Detroit and saying how Matt Stafford, until he can get all his weapons back on offense, you certainly want to watch his matchup on a week-in and week-out basis. I don't think you should have any more expectations than maybe 200 to 250 yards and two TDs. And, you know, that's about it. And so when you're evaluating your matchups, if you need a quarterback to put some big points up for you, not quite sure he's going to be the guy. From what I'm hearing today, Calvin Johnson may sit out the next two games until they come back from a bye to get him fully healthy. So watch that. The other guy I talked about yesterday hit this one right on the head as well. I had told you that Joy Bell, the running back for the Detroit Lions, he was a must start. We've seen it over the years. If Reggie Bush is not in the lineup and Joy Bell is getting the full workload, he will give you number one running back production, and that's exactly what he did yesterday with 15 points. The other standout for the Lions yesterday was their number one ranked defense. This defense is for real. It is not a fluke. It is not just for now. And Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Ezekiel Ansah, these guys are dominating the line of scrimmage. DeAndre Levy, underrated a linebacker, probably for most NFL spectators. This guy was a top 100 player. Voted by his peers this year on NFL.com's, or I should say NFL Network's yearly top 100 players. He's playing at an even higher level. I was a little worried once they lost inside linebacker Stephen Tulloch that this defense may take a drop off, but they're continuing to move forward. And I tell you, with how dominant that front seven is being, that's allowing for their defensive backs, Darius Slay and Rashad Matthews and those guys, in that secondary to play really well. And so if you have the Detroit Lions defense, they're a must-start every week. They gave rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater hell yesterday, sacked him 8 times, got him for 3 interceptions. Now, one was not his fault. It was a simple dump down to Matt Asiata. Asiata trying to get upfield and turning his head before bringing the ball all the way in. Ended up being tipped in the air and getting intercepted. But nonetheless, let me tell you, this Minnesota Vikings team, you want to stay away from them. Their players are just not going to produce. Their leading rusher and receiver, and that might be the one guy that you're interested in. I think they're going to start trying to get him on the football field more. It was Jerick McKinnon, their rookie running back, had 82 all-purpose yards. And so, you know, if you're desperate or you see some upside in him, and he certainly got it, but it's about the matchup. I mean, if Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be able to move the football, and their passing game, let's face it, it sucks. Let's just call it what it is. People holding on to Cordarrelle Patterson, I hope you're not holding your breath while you're holding on to him because you're going to pass out. You're going to faint. I cut ties with this guy 2 weeks ago. I had him on my team. And, again, if it wasn't for the first game of the season where he ran as a running back, and not he didn't do it as a wide receiver, he ran as a running back for a touchdown. You take that game away, this guy should be on the waiver wire. Again, you know, NFL, these so-called experts on NFL.com and ESPN and all these other shows were so high on this guy, primarily because of the last 4 games of last season. Well, this is this year. It's not last season. He's got a different quarterback. Most wide receivers in the NFL, you know, and when they're young, we're seeing it with Keenan Allen over in San Diego. He's learning the ropes. He's struggling running routes. He's not a confident player. And defenses certainly are paying him a lot of attention. But, my God, I mean, come on. This guy can't even get 40 yards in the game. He's averaging the leading receiver for Minnesota's averaging like 35 yards a game receiving. So, no way. If you have him on your lineup, get rid of him. It's not going to happen. You know, Norv Turner talked about this week getting him more involved. And I'm just like this. Right now, we're in week six. You have maybe 7 to 8 weeks left in your fantasy season. You've got better wide receivers. I'm quite sure you're playing in front of him. And so unless you know something that I don't know, and please do tell me, get rid of him. Just cut ties and get rid of him. Stop playing yourself. You know, start to what? I mean, you just got him sitting on the bench for what? Kicking to the waiver wire. Next, moving on, we had the New England Patriots playing the Buffalo Bills. This one here went much different than anticipated. Excuse me there. Get my mic back. This one went much, it did not go as anticipated in regards to the play of Mr. Tom Brady. Certainly got off to a slow start, but the last 2 weeks he has lit it up, and he did exactly that yesterday. 361 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, just went to work on that Buffalo Bills defense in the second half. And so I think right now, as we're seeing this Patriots offense in the passing game, and it, you know what, it's not easy to see watching the game, the adjustments that are being made, but, you know, he's getting rid of the ball quicker. The offense is building some confidence. You know, Brandon LaFell, he's turning into that guy over there. Yes, they have Julian Edelman. Danny Amendola, he's an afterthought now. Tim Wright is a little bit more a part of it. I don't know where this Times guy who caught this touchdown yesterday came from. I know he just came out of nowhere. You're like, who is this? That was a lot of that yesterday. As we go through these stats, you'll see that. You know, who's this guy? That's what I said this time. But nonetheless, I'm saying that Tom Brady, he's getting more comfortable with his weapons now. You're talking about Shane Vereen and Danny Amendola. Neither one of those guys did much of anything, but they're still there running routes. Defenses are paying them attention. You've got Gronkowski, who's really starting to get back into the fold. He actually was robbed of a touchdown yesterday. I have Gronkowski in two of my leagues, and they line Gronkowski up out at wide receiver in one-on-one coverage. If you're noticing, that's a trend now that's going on around the NFL. That's something that Peyton Manning started with Julius Thomas. Then the next thing you know, you're seeing Eli Manning doing it with Larry Donald, his tight end. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do it yesterday on his game-winning touchdown pass to Andrew Corliss, his tight end. We've seen Greg Olsen. We've seen Martellus Bennett. And yesterday, we've seen it with Rob Gronkowski. Matter of fact, we've seen it with Phillip Rivers yesterday throwing a touchdown to Antonio Gates. Let me line my big 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", tight end out on an island against this little safety or this little nickel defensive back and throw this back shoulder fade or just get it to him and let him rumble in. And that's what Gronkowski did. But the play was called back. Nonetheless, fantasy owners of Rob Gronkowski have got to be feeling real good about themselves. I know that I am. It's great to see this guy rounding back into form. He's going to be a vital part of that Patriots passing game. But not to stray off the subject, I was saying that Brandon LaFell, with Kimbrell Tompkins now gone, Aaron Dobson still going through the motions, Brandon LaFell is the other guy opposite Julian Edelman, who Tom Brady is targeting. And obviously LaFell's confidence is building every week with Brady targeting him so much. He had a big game yesterday, 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. What's also happened in New England, Stephen Ridley, their running back, is likely out for the year with an ACL or MCL injury. We're still waiting to get the specifics. Nonetheless, now running back Shane Vereen, his value takes a bump up. The guy that you want to take a look at on your waiver wire is Brandon Bolden, the backup running back. He's a much tougher runner and powerful runner than Stephen Ridley, and so he's certainly a player that you want to, you know, kind of take a look at. He may end up taking over the role for Stephen Ridley. Don't know how that's going to shake out, but he's certainly worth a look. When you look at Rob Gronkowski, as I talked about for a moment, 7 catches, 94 yards, so just shy of 100. He came up gimpy on one play. I should say slow, but came back in the game with no problem, so was happy to see that. Seen him in an interview after the game. He was absolutely fine. For the Buffalo Bills, I tell you, their running back situation is just sad. This C.J. Spiller, he's another guy. I mean, it's hard. You know, when I'm talking about C.J. Spiller, when I'm talking about Doug Martin, when I'm talking about Keenan Allen, some of these other players who are doing absolutely nothing for you right now, it's hard because you really can't trade them. I mean, for who? For what? Who wants them? You know, And then you're kind of hesitant, like, man, you know, I know the moment that I let him loose, another owner's going to get him. It's going to come back to bite me. But, I mean, it's just bad right now for him. I don't know. He fumbled yesterday. He's not even getting, you know, 12 to 13 carries. He's not the guy catching out of the backfield. So, I mean, his owners, I just, you know, at this point, I just say you're either going to have to bench him and hope for the best, or at some point you just got to let him go. He's not really the best running between the tackles. They're not getting him involved in the screen game. I mean, he's just a waste right now. It's really unfortunate. Fred Jackson continues to be the player. If the Bills running backs do anything, it's going to be him. So he's the stronger play. He had 9 points yesterday. Didn't do much though. 30 all purpose yards. Got the touchdown. We talked about Sammy Watkins, and I think it was just a case of Kyle Orton not targeting him. You know, I didn't want to say it was so much about, oh, he was on Revis Island, bunch of baloney. You know, he had 2 catches for 27 yards, but only 3 targets. Meanwhile, Scott Chandler's getting 9 targets. Robert Woods is getting 10 targets. I guarantee you Sammy Watkins would have got 10 targets. And I know people are like, well, he wasn't open. Well, you know what? They need to do a better job of making their rookie wide receiver their number one priority, because he's going to give them the best chance of moving the football. I'm quite sure nobody had Scott Chandler in their lineup yesterday. 6 catches, 105 yards. Kyle Orton, he was decent. You know, I'm not going to recommend you put him in your lineup. He's too iffy, but he had 299, 2 TDs, so got to note him anyway. Moving over to the Panthers and Bengals, this one was certainly a stat-filled game. First and foremost, Cam Newton. Here's a guy who I talked about yesterday. I said that going to Cincinnati, if you look at the trend, it has not been a good situation for quarterbacks going out there. But with A.J. Green and Marvin Jones being out of the lineup for Cincinnati, that Cam Newton may have some extra opportunities afforded to him for the simple fact that Cincinnati wasn't going to be able to move the football through the air like they normally do. And Newton looked good. Nonetheless, he took advantage. He had 284 passing yards, 2 TDs, could have been 3. Jericho Cotchery let one get away from him in the end zone. And then Newton also led the team in rushing with 107 yards and 1 TD. So I just had mentioned yesterday we really hadn't seen Newton running too much due to the fact that, you know, maybe his ankle wasn't fully healed. But he showed that he's getting back healthy. May not be all the way there. But when you see him run 17 times, that should tell you something. He's feeling better on that leg. Their running backs are a mess. And so coming into the season, we didn't know what to expect from Cam Newton. Brand new set of wide receivers. Had the early backslash rib contusion injury. Had the ankle surgery. Look, let's face it. Let's give Cam Newton his credit. This is a very good NFL quarterback. I know he can be a bit shaky or erratic at times, but at the end of the day, with the lack of weapons that they have surrounded him with ever since he's been in the NFL, you've got to say that this guy has maximized on potential. You cannot tell me that if he had some better weapons there, and I think it's a shame that they let Steve Smith go, because honestly, if they would have had Steve Smith along with Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen, his numbers could be that much better. Nonetheless, that was the situation. Cam Newton yesterday gave you 391 all-purpose yards, 3 TDs, was the top fantasy football performer. Again, owners had him on the bench. I'm quite sure not too many people, unless you had no better options or you didn't respect Cincinnati's defense, had him in the lineup. So, again, him and Brady and Flacco put up the monster numbers and probably were not in a lot of lineups. Looking at what happened through the air, Greg Olsen continues to be a top fantasy receiver, as he was ranked in the top 5 in the preseason for my fantasy football rankings. Had another game, 62 yards and a touchdown, so he did extremely well. And then Kelvin Benjamin had a solid game, scored a touchdown to make him fantasy relevant. He only had 49 yards in the air, but obviously with his size at 6'5", 240, Cincinnati was making him a real focal point of shutting down, especially after he scored that first touchdown. And I like his toughness. You know, he actually got hit very hard on his touchdown reception and held onto the football. And as a matter of fact, Benjamin got caught on a very questionable pass interference call. Cam Newton went back to him in the red zone. And like I said, you have to be physical as a wide receiver. And they called Benjamin for pass interference. It was a touchdown. It looked pretty clean to me. I mean, guys were tugging and jostling at each other, and he basically just, you know, using his hands, kind of fought off the defender and went up and got the ball at his highest point. But they called it back. But you have to continue to be encouraged. He got 8 targets yesterday, and that's what I'm talking about, the difference between him and Sammy Watkins. You know, Cam Newton's making it a point to target Benjamin like the number one wide receiver that he is, but Kyle Orton is not doing that. When we take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton, a little bit erratic. Well, you would expect that, though, because he's without 2 of his targets. Nonetheless, played a good game, you know, 323 and 2 touchdowns. You'll take that. The 2 interceptions obviously took some points off there. But he had a good game, all things considered, without his weapons. And running the football, look, Giovanni Bernard, this was a great matchup for him. He took full advantage of it. Gave you yesterday 157 all-purpose yards, had 18 carries for a 137. The 89-yard touchdown run was the one that busted it open, and it gave you an opportunity to see if this guy gets in the open field, you can say goodnight, Irene. Broke through. And that's the thing I like about Giovanni Bernard. Unlike C.J. Spiller and maybe some of these other young running backs or some of these other running backs with a whole lot of speed who can only make yardage on the perimeter, he runs tough between the tackles. You see it week in and week out with Giovanni Bernard. And his 89-yard touchdown run ended with him blazing up the sidelines for a touchdown. But it began running right between the center and the guard. He shook off a couple tackles. And you knew once you seen him get in the open field, it was a done deal. So he continues to be a great play, an absolute great play. When I was seeing him go in the first 2 rounds or 3 rounds, you know, I was a little bit like, but it was only because I was worried about goal line carries and maybe Jeremy Hill cutting into his playing time a little bit. But he's answered all my questions. He's certainly a guy, no doubt about it. He'll be a top 10 fantasy football running back coming into next season. The other guy was a real pleasant surprise for me. I went through this debate all yesterday on the master plan. I reached out to Adam Rank over at NFL Network. I reached out to Marcellus Sura over at Fantasy Football Challenge. I reached out to my man Eldon Jensen over on FinManiacs.com. I was just trying to figure out, should I start Benjamin or Sanu? Should I start Benjamin or Sanu? And so Sanu ended up in the lineup. And, man, he balled out for me. 10 catches, 120 yards, a touchdown. The number that you love is 14 targets. That was 7 more than any other Bengal player. And the word on the street right now is that A.J. Green is probably going to miss next week's game as well. Marvin Jones is iffy. He's trying to get back from his foot and ankle injuries. And so I think at this point, with the way that things have went for Cincinnati, not only is Mohamed Sanu, was he a good waiver wire pickup? This is a receiver you want on your football team because when A.J. Green is in, he's taking advantage of the opposing team's number 2 defensive back. He's been on the field the most with Andy Dalton this season, with Marvin Jones being out and A.J. Green battling some injuries. So the trust is there, and he's a motivated player. On his touchdown yesterday, he could have easily caught the ball and just went out of bounds at the 3-yard line. But he stayed in bounds, stuck the ball out, and got in the end zone. And when you see him coming to the sideline, he's pumped up. He's high-fiving guys. You know, people are pushing him. They're telling him, yeah. So I think that Mohamed Sanu is a player that if you can get him, and you have to be crafty. Look, maybe put a trade into play, maybe for somebody who's underachieving or has got a tough schedule coming up. But I think you find a way to get Mohamed Sanu on your team, whether it's the free agent wire or through a trade. And he's a guy that, look, I don't think owners are going to be going out of their way to keep him on their roster if you can make the trade appealing enough. And so I really like what Mohamed Sanu did for me yesterday, and I'm quite sure his owners are as well. The other guy that's worth noting, possibly, Jermaine Gresham, their tight end. You know that Tyler Eifert went out pretty much around the first game of the season. Gresham really hadn't done much, but got 7 targets yesterday, 6 catches for 68 yards. So while A.J. Green continues to be out the lineup, I think Jermaine Gresham is worth a look if you need a tight end to step in for you for a week. Moving on to our next game, Nobody's seen this one coming in this fashion. It was the Cleveland Browns spanking the Pittsburgh Steelers in Cleveland 31-10. And let me tell you this much right now. This Pittsburgh Steelers defense is flat out garbage. Let's just cut through the chase. You know, coming into the season, it was a shaky group. You already knew, as I had told everyone, that the only players who were there from a couple years ago were Polamalu, who's obviously, he's not the same player he used to be. You know, and it's sad seeing Troy out there struggle, but he's missing tackles. He's blowing coverage. He's not really covering that well. His recovery speed is not the same. He's just not the same player. It was Ike Taylor, their starting defensive back. He's gone for a long time with a broken forearm. Jarvis Jones, their second-year player who helped in the pass rush, he's gone indefinitely. Ryan Shazier, their top middle linebacker pickup in this year's draft, who's been playing extremely well prior to the injury, he's gone. There's no more Lamar Woodley. There's no more Casey Hampton. There's no more Ryan Clark. There's no more James Harrison. There's no more Larry Foote. There's no more Brett Kiesel. This Pittsburgh Steelers defense is atrocious. And so, you used to see the Steelers defense coming up, especially if you were a running back, and you'd be putting that guy on the bench so quick. Nowadays, you see Pittsburgh's defense coming up, you're waving your hand saying, oh, man, this is a slam dunk here. Yeah, I'm playing them. So that's the bottom line. Brian Hoyer, he didn't need to do much in his little bit of time that he was in there. And, again, this was somebody who I told you, and he certainly outperformed Matt Stafford yesterday. Look, he only needed 8 completions for 217 yards. I mean, just ate up the Steelers in huge chunks yesterday. 1 touchdown pass. But again, he didn't need to. It was 21-3 at halftime. It was 24-3 before Pittsburgh got on the board in the fourth quarter. Ben Tate, look, he had 2 touchdowns for 78 yards. And I must say, with Ben Tate, if it was the same for Rashad Jennings out in New York, he's injured right now. But these were 2 guys who were coming over to new ball clubs, and you weren't quite sure how productive they could be. And Ben Tate, he's put all worries to rest. This guy this week, after 123 yards on 23 carries last week, this week 25 carries. And that's the key, the production, the carries, the touches, the targets. That's what's going to get the job done. So as long as Cleveland is going to continue to feed him 20-plus times a game, he's going to score, especially he's a goal line vulture. 78 yards, 2 TDs, that was good for 19 points. And so Ben Tate owners, myself included, look, I told owners a couple weeks ago, and I keep saying this because it's going to be a recurring thing throughout the course of the season. It won't be too long. Some people are going to drop Monte Ball. Ryan Matthews is out there. Now, Brandon Oliver is playing great, and I'll wait until I get to the San Diego game. But my point being, you've got to pick starters up a week to 2 weeks in advance. Ben Tate was a guy that most people dropped after he got hurt in week 1. They dropped him maybe around the 3rd or 4th week. Some people needed to do that because of their waiver, because of the bye situation. Well, guess what? You got to take advantage of it. Look, this week in my ESPN league, I got Ben Tate and Brandon Oliver off the waiver wire. Both these guys stepped in yesterday and were huge in my big-time win, knocking off the only undefeated player in my league. And so Ben Tate is going to continue to be an excellent play for you. I think the biggest thing that you're coming out of this one worried about with Cleveland is they lost their starting center, Alex Mack, who's a perennial Pro Bowler, the last couple years. Many regard him as the best center in the NFL. He's gone for the year with a broken fibula, and so you just wonder how much that's going to impact a Cleveland Browns offensive line that has been playing absolutely spectacular. Brian Hoyer, when he drops back into pass, he isn't worried. Nobody's bringing any pressure on him, and the holes are there in this running game that Ben Tate is very familiar with, by the way. It's very similar to the zone blocking scheme that we see going on out with Gary Kubiak brought to Houston, and he's running now, and Justin Forsett is excelling out with the Baltimore Ravens, and so you have to like that. But again, you just worry that Mac not being there. We're going to have to take a look and see if it hurts production. That's a key loss at the center position. Jordan Cameron, I asked about it. He must have heard me. I called out. I had my bullhorn. Excuse me, not my bullhorn, but I had my megaphone yesterday. And on the master plan, on Facebook, on Twitter, other NFL circles, I said, where is Jordan Cameron at? He's been missing all year. Now, I know that he had the shoulder injury and was battling through that. But, look, for a guy who was a top 10 fantasy tight end, he certainly could have done much better than what he was doing, which was absolutely nothing. Well, he looked good yesterday, 3 catches, 102 yards. It's good to see his speed back on display. That's one of the things you hear about Jordan Cameron being one of the fastest tight ends in the NFL, and he showed it yesterday, having 2 plays for over 50 yards against Pittsburgh's defense. I think I should tell you how bad. When's the last time you heard the Steelers' defense giving up plays of over 50 yards more than once in the game, if even if one time? Getting behind, you've seen it. What are you doing, Troy Polamalu? You know, this guy's late in coverage, and whoever this other safety is. So, anyway, Jordan Cameron, he's now back in the fold. And to be completely honest with you, looking at the Browns' next 3 games, Jacksonville, Oakland, Tampa Bay, man, you may want to go ahead and scoop up Ben Tate or Brian Hoyer or Jordan Cameron or even backup running back Isaiah Crowell. Listen, I'm going to tell you about Crowell. He looks spiffy, man. That guy looks real clean. And even though he fumbled yesterday, had 40 yards and a touchdown in limited action. And if it's a situation where we've seen here yesterday, again, playing Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Jacksonville, if the Browns are able to really dig in on the defensive side of the football and get up by a sizable lead, you're going to see Isaiah Crowell get in there and get some paper. And he had a touchdown. So they're going to give him some goal line touches. I think this is the guy they want to work in. But Ben Tate has been playing so well, and he's their free agent pickup, that they've got to make sure that he's going to get his touches. For Pittsburgh, it was the pretty much the norm. As usual, you start the big three. Ben Roethlisberger, not a bad game, but not a good one. 228 yards, only one TD. Le'Veon Bell, 82 yards on 18 rushes. But you're certainly seeing defenses starting to move defenders up in that box a little bit more, because guess what? Outside of Antonio Brown, who continues to be a monster, whether it's PPR or standard, another 7 catches, 118 yards. I don't think there's any question right now that Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Jordy Nelson of the Green Bay Packers are the top 2 wide receivers in fantasy football. Demaryius Thomas is certainly probably right there at number 3. He's certainly on his way up the ladder. But if you look at being consistent since the season has started, you won't find a stronger start than Jordy Nelson or Antonio Brown right now in the NFL. This guy is an absolute stud. I did not think he was going to be able to duplicate what he did last year, but he is doing it, and he's doing it in a major way. But without any other Steelers stepping up for Ben Roethlisberger in that passing game, it's making life a little bit more tougher on Le'Veon Bell. Moving over to Green Bay in Miami, Aaron Rodgers, he's hot, if you haven't noticed lately. If you have not noticed, Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now. In his last 3 ball games, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 264 yards yesterday, 3 TDs. Now, it was rough. We never thought it would be easy. He certainly was under a lot of pressure from Cameron Wake in that front line. But at the end of the day, it was 3 Miami Dolphin turnovers that allow Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to have 15 minutes of extra possession. And in the end, 1 possession too many. You don't want to give Aaron Rodgers the football with the game on the line. And look, he did convert a key 4th and 10. I know they had to give their game ball to their offensive lineman, T.J. Lang, because Rodgers was stripped in that last drive. And Lang was able to just basically dig deep and find a way to recover that fumble. If it wasn't for that, then Miami wins this game. But Aaron Rodgers made the key play. And ultimately, I want to get it things straight. Everybody's saying he did the Dan Marino. He did the Dan Marino. Let's say he did the Dan Marino Jr. Let's say that all these other quarterbacks who have attempted to do the Dan Marino, they've done the Dan Marino Jr. The reason I say that is, what made Marino's play so magical and so special is that he threw a touchdown pass on that play. Aaron Rodgers and these other quarterbacks who've attempted to do that, it's throwing a completion. And that's all fine and dandy, but that was the magic behind what Marino did, was when he did the fake spike, he threw a back shoulder touchdown. Back then, the back shoulder fade term and pass really wasn't even in existence. So Dan Marino probably needs to get credit for that pass. And I remember it was wide receiver Mark Ingram. Matter of fact, it's Mark Ingram, the running back for the New Orleans Saints. It was his father. He was a wide receiver in the NFL. Started out with the Giants, ended up in Miami. And so anyway, Rodgers, spectacular, as always. One TD pass to Jordy Nelson, one TD pass to Randall Cobb. The last went to tight end Andrew Corliss. And it was like stealing candy from a baby. I mean, come on, you're lining your tight end out at wide receiver with a linebacker who can't even cover at that. And it was just too easy. Easy back shoulder play. The linebackers out there lost. Didn't know what to do. I don't know how the Miami Dolphins slipped up on that one personnel-wise. At least get a safety or a DB out there. Nonetheless, Aaron Rodgers, very impressive. He's just going to continue to get better. I think that his toughest games are behind him right now. I have to check out their schedule. But they played Seattle. They played the Jets. I'm not sure if they played the entire NFC West this year, so San Francisco and Arizona could cause problems. But at the end of the day, if you don't get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, he's going to eat you alive, and that is a fact. Looking at Eddie Lacy, he was a guy that I called out yesterday. I wanted to see. They had struggled all season and finally got off last week against Minnesota. And we've seen that is exactly why. He was back to his normal low numbers from this year, only 40 rush yards. And so Eddie Lacy is another guy that, he probably got all these top backs we're talking about. You know, Adrian Peterson, you know, obviously people don't want to part ways with him. But I think that he's looking like he's done. You have to hold on for him until the official word comes in, but he's not supposed to go to trial till December. That's 2 months away. Fantasy football season is just about wrapping up at that time. I mean, what do you want this guy for, two games? I mean, at that point, who knows what shape he's going to be in, where his mind's going to be at. But certainly him, Eddie Lacy, Doug Martin, you know, some of these other backs that people took in the top 10, just not producing. And this Eddie Lacy, I know you don't want to let him go because, you know, let's face it, what, he's going to play Minnesota again. You know, he scored against Chicago. Possibly that can do something for you. You're wondering, you know, is this guy, which most people got him for, I would think, is for his ability to score goal line touchdowns, but that's not there. I mean, teams are just loading up on Eddie Lacy, so he continues to struggle. We talked about Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, must starts every week. There's no question. As I told everybody, I think that the trend is well established. If you did not listen to me in past weeks, if you didn't notice it for yourself, Jordy Nelson is your yardage guy. He's the big play guy. I know my girl, Marcella Sura. I'll make sure I tweet her later. She can't stand Jordy because of some of the ways he's let her down in past years. But Marcella, as I've been, and I think you know that, certainly not a knock on her. She's a great analyst over on Fantasy Football Challenge, does a great job. So I don't want anybody to get it twisted. Certainly not a knock. That's a very valued cohort of mine. She comes on one of my other shows, and you know, I'll make sure I got to get her on here on these shows so you can hear directly from her. But Marcella, Mr. Nelson, 16 targets yesterday. Yeah, he's probably averaging about 13 a week. He can't fail. There's no way with Aaron Rodgers' precision passing, there's no way he can fail. He's going to continue to stockpile up the huge numbers again. And then Randall Cobb, he's your touchdown guy. He's got 7 TDs in 6 games this year, and you know. He may not put up tons of yards, and I think that can change. I think with Devonta Adams coming on, or the rookie that they drafted, who led the NCAA in receptions last year, Rodgers is looking to spread it out a little more. That's a guy that you may be interested in, because if Nelson or Cobb were to go down with an injury, and he's taking advantage of the time that he's getting, that's Jarrett Boykin's spot. You know, Boykin was a rookie last year. He's had a really bad groin injury, so hasn't been able to get on the football field. But I think it's boding well for Green Bay, because when Boykin comes back, now you can see Aaron Rodgers go back to 4 wide receivers on you. And at that point, you have to pick your poison, because Nelson and Cobb can hurt you. But also now you got Adams and Boykin working. You stick Corliss in there and tight end, and Aaron Rodgers may have his new Donald Driver James Jones and Jermichael Finley. And so we'll certainly see how that plays out. But Randall Cobb, as I said, right now isn't getting a ton of yards. But when it comes to the red zone, he is Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, especially when Rodgers has to break out of the pocket and make something happen with his feet. That's who he is looking for. Your touchdown maker is Randall Cobb. Moving over to Miami, Ryan Tannehill continues to be inconsistent. Two TDs, two picks. I mean, you know, if you're desperate and the matchup is right, he may do you some justice. But I he's not someone I've recommended all year. Too inconsistent. I'm surprised the running game wasn't able to get going for Miami. This Green Bay Packers defense came in ranked dead last in the NFL. Now, Miller only had 14 carries, so maybe if they fed him some more, he could have, you know, done some more damage. But he did have a TD nonetheless, also had 40 receiving yards. So Lamar Miller, give you some nice value yesterday. We're talking the 93 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. That's good for 15 points. I know when No'Shawn Moreno went down, a lot of people were able to scoop him up off the waiver wire, and he's been productive. Don't get me wrong. I like Lamar Miller. He's giving you excellent fantasy value against Kansas City. He had over 100 in a touchdown out in London. He had two touchdowns, and yesterday, 95 yards and a touchdown. So certainly good work by Lamar Miller. We've seen No'Shawn Moreno. We warned you. I don't know. Anybody put him in your lineup, you had to be desperate or just thought that he was going to work a miracle, but you knew. When you're coming back from a dislocated elbow and wearing a huge brace on your arm and you're a running back, see, Rob Gronkowski is able to get away with that a little more because he's catching the football, and then from that point, he's just having to hold on to it. But for Moreno, the issue is receiving a handoff, you know, from the quarterback. The issue is stiff-arming. The issue is switching the football from one arm to another. And the issue is when you go to put two hands on the football, running through the holes and taking a hit, it's not as secure. And so he only had six carries yesterday. One catch did nothing. I'm quite sure they're going to try to work him back in. But as I advise owners of No'Shawn Moreno, if you thought about picking him up off the waiver wire, you need him to cash in the next 2 weeks. They play at Chicago, then they play Jacksonville. Then after that, very rough. They're playing Detroit, number one overall in the NFL, Buffalo, top five against the run. Baltimore right now ranked eighth against the run. The Jets right now, well, by the time they face them, they'll probably be dead in the water. So we just have to be careful with No'Shawn Moreno. I think we need to wait and see, maybe until he can get that brace off and down to a sleeve or just gets back out there. That's the other thing, Rush. You know, he hadn't played in a while. Looking at what happened for the Miami Dolphins in the passing game, Jarvis Landry, their rookie, had 75 yards and a touchdown. I think you need to see back-to-back weeks from him before you go grab him off the waiver wire. Mike Wallace, though, continues to be a strong play. Look, here's a guy you picked up in later rounds, gave you 67 yards and a touchdown. We certainly like those 12 points. And he's got four TD passes this year. And so he's been able to basically get you double digits in four out of the five Dolphins games. So that certainly bodes well for him. Moving on to our next matchup, it was the San Diego Chargers playing at the Oakland Raiders. And, man, I tell you, I got to give my man Victor Gardner some big-time credit on this one. He called out quarterback Derek Carr for the Oakland Raiders. And I'm quite sure he didn't expect for him to have the type of game that he did. But he's been high on Carr. And I think all of us can agree, when you're looking at Johnny Manziel, you're looking at Teddy Bridgewater, you're looking at Blake Bortles, you're looking at Derek Carr, you've got to probably say that Carr looks the best out of all of them. Now, I think that he's right there with Blake Bortles. I really like what I see out of Bortles as well. And Bridgewater, too. You know, let's face it, he faced the number one ranked defense for crying out loud yesterday. But nonetheless, Derek Carr, man, this guy, he looks good. You know, he looks real good. He's zinging that football. When he's rolling out, he's got zing on it. And so he had four touchdown passes yesterday. Unfortunately, his only interception, and I think the timing of it is what made it so bad. The Raiders were only down three. They only needed maybe another 30 or 35 yards. You have Sebastian Janikowski at least give him an opportunity to boom it from 50 or 55, and he goes bomb in the double coverage, ends up being an interception. Nonetheless, great game by him. I think out of all the rookie quarterbacks and some of these other quarterbacks, if you look at who's Carr, some of his matchups coming up the next couple weeks, he's a guy you may consider putting on your fantasy team. If a guy like Matt Stafford is going to continue to be without weapons, you have to find somebody for Matt Stafford and maybe some other tough matchups. For Oakland yesterday, I know it wasn't a whole lot, but it certainly helped me out. I had Darren McFadden step in. I was desperate for a running back. And the Vultures in my league, they took everybody. They took Lonnie Hillman. They took Andre Brown. They took Brandon Oliver. They took any other good running back who was on the waiver wire was gone. And so I'm looking. I'm like, you know what? The Raiders, you know, they're going to have to play. They're desperate for a win. You got San Diego coming to town. They're off of a bye. This could be one of those games where it doesn't go according to plan. And if San Diego can keep this thing close, I think that Darren McFadden can have a productive day. I actually thought in my mind that he could, you know, maybe bust off a 50-yard TD run. Someone just told me to play him. So even though he only got you 8 points, and I don't even want to say eight, only eight. Let me say he had 8 points because 80 yards is productive. I would take that any day if a guy is not going to touch the end zone. But he did it on 14 carries. He averaged 6 yards a pop. Maurice Jones-Drew only had 4 carries. So I was only grabbing Darren McFadden for the week. I'm going to hold on to Darren McFadden. I think that he has established himself as the best runner for the Raiders, and we know that the Raiders can get the running game going. And I think he would have scored yesterday with the exception of the 2 times that the Raiders were in the red zone. Derek Carr ended up passing for touchdown, which kind of, you know, took away from McFadden's opportunity. But I'm telling you right now, get McFadden. I'm not making any guarantees or promises, but if you need a running back, I'm telling you, he's the permanent, he's the starter. In the last 2 games with Jones-Drew back in the lineup, he's got way more carries, and he's way more explosive, and he just looks better. And so that's that. Also for the Oakland Raiders, this was a true yesterday. Like, who is this? Who is this guy? Andre Holmes. Yeah, I didn't hear. I don't know who this guy is either. But Andre Holmes, wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. And my man Michael Fabiano over on NFL.com, who handles fantasy for them, made an excellent point. I wasn't too aware of this, but in his last 2 games, this guy's got 21 targets. And Holmes, yesterday, 4 catches, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns, one of them a 77-yard touchdown. And so look at him. He is rookie David Carr. Excuse me, he is rookie Derek Carr's number one option in the passing game. Now, obviously, this could change from week to week, but right now, that is who Derek Carr is targeting, and so I say that he's worth a spot on your roster. Now, I'm not guaranteeing or telling you to start him. You certainly have to evaluate your matchups, but Derek Carr is going to be tossing the football a lot, and who cares when the points come or how the yards add up? This is fantasy football. Holmes got 3 TDs in his last 2 games, and they played Miami and London. He scored the only touchdown for Oakland and had 74 yards in that game. So this guy has the upside. And look, you have to like his size. This guy's 6'4", 225, and got good speed. So I like that. The other guy who you say, well, who is this guy, was Bryce Butler, another rookie. Now, look, I'm not going to advise you to pick him up. I think that Holmes is a much stronger start. And I would say James Jones. He was the other guy who caught the touchdown for Derek Carr yesterday. Those two guys, I think, are your main guys. I think that Bryce Butler, he just caught a nice slant and was able to get upfield faster than what San Diego could recover. But Andre Holmes and James Jones are going to be the 2 top targets for Derek Carr in the passing game. So don't be afraid. Go ahead and scoop one of those guys up. Maybe be a very valuable pickup for you for fantasy football. Next, we are talking about the San Diego Chargers. And what we're seeing from the San Diego Chargers is what we pretty much already knew. Phillip Rivers, arguably playing the best football out of any quarterback in the NFL right now. This guy is hot. Yeah, him and Aaron Rodgers right now. I would say both of those two guys right now, man, they're playing with some big-time confidence, man. Another big game from Phillip Rivers yesterday. 313, 3 TDs, no interceptions, sacked only 1 time. Flawless, man. This boy is nice, man. You, I think we all know that about Phillip Rivers. And the confidence is there. He's a must-start every week. There's no question about it. And I'm a little salty. I kind of knew that Phillip Rivers, after 4,400 yards, 32 TDs, bringing all of his weapons back from last year, I knew that he was going to have a good year. I could have grabbed him in the 10th, the 9th, as late as the 9th, 10th, or 11th round and didn't get him. So for fantasy owners who were able to get him, I apologize. Let me refer you to this. You know what? In my ESPN league, I do have Mr. Rivers. Yeah, so let me go ahead and correct that real quick, because I want everybody to know I don't just give you advice just to give it to you. I'm giving you advice that I'm using myself that has proven beneficial. And as a matter of fact, I have Rivers over there. Did a great job for me yesterday. I have Tom Brady, too. Brady got to the slow start, so I've been playing Rivers. So it feels good to have two good quarterbacks over there. But, yeah, Phillip Rivers is a beast. He's going to continue to be a beast. I don't care who they're playing. This guy is clicking on all cylinders. Brandon Oliver, the running back for San Diego Chargers. I think this is the true enigma in this puzzle, because you know what? I don't think there's any question that he's going to continue to get the bulk of the workload, even when backup running back Donald Brown comes in. He's got two straight weeks of over 100 running. He had 101 yards and a touchdown yesterday. Also gave you 24 catches for 23 yards to give you extra boost in the PPR league, which is good for 31 targets. He had 26 carries and was targeted 5 times in the passing game. And on the Chargers' final game-winning drive, they handed him the football 4 straight times. That tells you that they have confidence in him. And so I really like Brandon Oliver. I think the big dilemma is going to come into play is when starter Ryan Matthews come back. And it's probably going to be another couple weeks for that. And so I think if Oliver continues to play at a high level, at that point he's going to be worth keeping on your team. We just have to wait to see. Like I said, I'm not worried about Donald Brown, but it's certainly Ryan Matthews. Looking at what happened in the air yesterday for San Diego, I got to give my man Fabs another point for this one. Look, Malcolm Floyd continues to be a big play receiver. And you know what? He's been that his entire career. He's just injured a lot. He's just injured a lot. But when healthy, he averages pretty much 20 yards a catch. This year, he has not had a game where he has scored under 7 points. In every single game, he scored at least 7 points or a touchdown. Yesterday, 103 yards, a touchdown. And I think what happens with Malcolm Floyd is the name is not fancy. He just doesn't have that appeal that some of these other receivers do. But the production is there. And I'm going to also tell you this. When you look at the Chargers receiving core, the reason he's going to continue to be a valuable asset is because Phillip Rivers likes him, speaks highly of him, but he's the only wide receiver who's been with Phillip Rivers since Rivers started his career in San Diego. So the trust is there. You know, he trusts Malcolm Floyd to be where he's supposed to be and to throw it in tight windows and to go up and get footballs when he needs them to. Other than that, he spread it around. Eddie Royo, I considered putting him in my lineup yesterday. I didn't, but you knew that he's going to continue to get used. He had a touchdown yesterday, 10 points. Antonio Gates had only 27 yards, but got a touchdown. That was good. He's getting 8 targets. You like that a lot. The guy who's missing from this equation is Keenan Allen. What is going on with Keenan Allen? Look, this year, Keenan Allen has only got 296 yards in 6 games. And he's got no touchdowns. And so it could be a situation where maybe Phillip Rivers does what Peyton Manning did to Demaryius Thomas and says, you know what, I've got to get this guy going. So let me go ahead and just feed him. He did it a couple weeks against Jacksonville, 10 catches, 135 yards. But honestly, I think that Phillip Rivers is so comfortable right now. He's like, you know what, I'm not worried about whoever is open, whoever's got the best matchup, that's who I'm getting the football to. And so I know the Keenan Allen fantasy owners have to be unhappy with that. Next, we had the Chicago Bears playing the Atlanta Falcons, and this one did not go as anticipated. I thought for sure that Matt Ryan was going to have tons of success against the Chicago Bears' shaky defense. Now, look, Ryan did have 271 in the touchdown. I thought he'd get more around 3 to 350 and 2 or 3 TDs. Nonetheless, what we're seeing with Atlanta is they don't have a running game. And I think it's starting to get to a point where defenses are saying, okay, you know what? If that's all they're going to come out and do is pass the football, let's double cover for the most part Julio Jones. They don't have Tony Gonzalez there anymore. To worry about taking up in the tight end. Whoever this new tight end is, he's not Tony Gonzalez. Rhodey White, let's face it, he's older now. He's lost a step. He's not as productive. And life is difficult when it's like that. Bears were finally able to get some pressure yesterday, which they had not done pretty much this entire season. And Julio Jones, 4 catches, only 68 yards. Ever since his big game against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago, his numbers have slowed down a little bit. You know, he still did have the 100-yard game a couple weeks ago, so let me not say that. But, you know, the defenses are looking to stop him. But the other guy that you want to look at, how about this Anton Smith? We talked about this guy yesterday on the show, and we said that if he was going to get one more swing pass for a touchdown, we got to consider this guy. We've got to consider this guy. And so we got to do it now. You have to do it. He looks like the best running back in Atlanta. And you can see the laugh that he had on his face yesterday after scoring. Like, you know what? This is ridiculous how many swing passes I'm taking in for a touchdown. But he's a guy in 4 out of 6 games this year who has done exactly that. I've got the, my man, let me bring my man Victor in. I've been clicking back and forth all show to see if he was going to be on with me. And there he is. He's been on hold for a minute. So let me bring Victor in real quick. I got you in, Victor. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Bears, and then let's go ahead and get you in here for these last 20 minutes we got on the show. For the Bears, it was Jay Cutler. He had 381 yards, simply diced that sorry Falcons defense up. No problem, Matt Forte. We talked about it. Great days were ahead. Once he got past the tough matchups, back-to-back weeks with the Jets and 49ers, he's got one of the most favorable matchups for any top running backs in the NFL the rest of the way, and he's showing improvement. He put up 123 a couple weeks ago at Green Bay. Last week in their loss to, I forget who the Bears lost to last week, but he gave you 20-plus points. Yesterday, gave you 20-plus points again. You know he's a beast on the ground, 80 rush yards, 2 TDs. He'll hurt you in the air, 77 yards. I just love Matt Forte. I just love me some Matt Forte. Also, both Bears receivers for the first time this year were able to get up over 100 yards. Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall both had over 100 yards. Now I'd like to welcome in Victor Gardner, Mr. FSP. I'm going to break the monotony here and let him talk about these last couple games and what he's seen. We've got roughly 15 minutes left in the show. Definitely want to make sure we get our quick predictions in for tonight's game. But I'm going to let Victor take it over from here. Victor, we had Dallas at Seattle yesterday. The floor is yours, my man. I've been running the whole show. Why don't you go ahead and say hello to everybody and then tell me what you've seen happen in that Dallas and Seattle game yesterday.
Well, Lance, I want to tell you this is baptism by fire. I purposely wanted to let you run the show by yourself because you got a great product, and you don't need me to cloud it. But I'll be more than happy to take some of the spotlight, you dig. So here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Dallas and Seattle. I said this a couple weeks ago. If Dallas went to Seattle and DeMarco Murray could run, they're a real team. But this was the game to see if Dallas was a legitimate team or were they just riding the coattails of Mr. Murray. It's a little bit of both because that defense showed up. They held the ball. People don't understand. The formula to beat the Seattle Seahawks, no matter where they are, is to hold the ball and time of possession. I don't know why the Redskins didn't do that last week. But it's worked for San Diego, it's worked for Dallas, and the run game, no matter how good it's going or how bad it's going, they stuck with it. DeMarco Murray finally bust through and got his yards. He chipped away, chipped away, chipped away. Didn't deviate from their plan. Had a blocked kick. Still didn't deviate from their plan. The team is for real. I'm not a big Cowboys fan, but Jason Witten finally found the end zone, or there was a Jason Witten sighting. Not only did Richard Sherman decide to travel across the field to check somebody, he shadowed Dez Bryant, and Dez Bryant only had like 47 total yards. Now I'm going to give Richard Sherman some credit. He got ran over by DeMarco Murray and a few other people, but, you know, at least he was there. He is relevant. Within that game, I saw if you knock around Tony Romo, you're going to get to him. But the problem is that big line in front of him. This is how Jerry Jones is going to make his money back within the next 4 to 5 years. That offensive line. If next year he drafts another offensive lineman and they're a good one, that front line is going to be reminiscent of the 90s front line of the Dallas Cowboys. DeMarco Murray looks like he can be a bigger, stronger Emmitt Smith. He's an Oklahoma Sooner, by the way, if I'm not mistaken. Boomer Sooner.
True.
But, you know, you got the triplets again. You got the triplets again with a pretty decent defense. And the thing is, that defense has Rod Marinelli running it. Rod Marinelli has fixed a lackluster defense. They're playing the Tampa 2, but they're also playing a lot of different other types of coverages. I'm just telling you, I'm not a big Cowboys fan. Lance can tell you I hate the Cowboys. I'm a Redskins fan. But they look for real. And just to throw another thing in there, I told y'all about Antoine Smith about 3 weeks ago. Who listened to me? Who listened to Mr. FSP? Now back to the extra point.
Good stuff there, Victor. Yeah, pretty much what I've seen in this one is, look, DeMarco Murray, he is the best thing going in fantasy football right now. You are starting him with extreme confidence. This was the one game that we said that if you thought about sitting him, which there was no way that you could. Because now he's not a running back where, like maybe an Adrian Peterson, where if the game did get into where Dallas had to pass the ball, he's able to catch the football to the backfield, and then he's going to get goal line carries. And so there was no way that you could sit him. But I don't think anybody's seen 115 coming. You know, I thought the Seattle defense was going to be the first defense to hold him beneath 100, knowing he's coming in with five straight. But when you get 29 carries, like you said, you continue. And the key was, Dallas was able to keep the game close. That was the whole key. When Dallas was able to keep the game close, that allowed them to continue to feed Murray. And when you are running, I don't care what defense it is, Murray had 29 carries. The Cowboys had 40 carries total. When you can pound away at a defense like that, and those are only run plays. Now, I'm talking about the passing plays. Romo threw 32 times. When you pound away at a defense like that, by the time the fourth quarter comes around, these guys are tired, you know? And so DeMarco Murray, now that he's gotten past this test, you have no worries. The only other game this year that has a strong run defense is Arizona. Other than that, he's got about five games left against the NFC East, and these other teams are nobody. So, I mean, I have Murray in my main league. I couldn't be more pleased. We said to start Dez Bryant. No, he didn't touch the end zone. But if you notice, that it takes a physical receiver. See, what happens with Seattle most of the time, you got an average receiver at best or one good receiver that can take him away. You got an average quarterback and maybe a pretty good running back, and so they can limit it. But if you notice, even when Keenan Allen, it was five catches for 55 yards. No, wasn't less. A whole lot, Richard. I'm not trying to say he did you in. And even Dez yesterday. But you have physical receivers who can challenge these guys. And that's what I seen yesterday. Tony Romo, I said to sit him, but Romo showed some guts. And I think this just this Cowboys team as a whole, including their offensive line. When you seen Dallas' sideline after Murray scored that last touchdown, DeMarco Murray, he didn't look tired. He didn't look winded. And those guys over there, you see Murray high-fiving his linemen, and they're saying, yeah, you know, we plowed these guys over. Yeah, that's right. You know, feed me this thing. And so that's the attitude you like to see. What I've seen out of Seattle, though, that was surprising. Well, I shouldn't say surprising, but let's go ahead and get a couple facts here before we move on to our last two games, is this. If Seattle cannot, and it's a formula to their success, if Seattle cannot run the football effectively, they're a completely different team. Now, Marshawn Lynch had 61 yards yesterday, but it was only on 10 carries. It wasn't in the flow of the football game. The Seahawks didn't convert enough third downs, and Dallas ate up so much clock that he couldn't get involved. And so when you can limit or contain Marshawn Lynch, let's face it, Russell Wilson has been overachieving with a bunch of average receivers. Doug Baldwin, you know, whatever, fifth-round pick, you know, he's not a top-tier receiver. This Lockett guy, he's not a top-tier receiver. Jermaine Kearse, he's nobody. And Percy Harvin, let me not say that about Kearse. Kearse is a good young player, but he's only in his third year. And then Percy Harvin, he's flat-out struggling. He's a slot guy. And so when Russell Wilson, when that running game isn't working, now Wilson has to come from behind. Seattle's not built to come from behind. And let's face it, Dallas was just a more motivated and hungry team, and they're a more physical team. And in the two games you've seen Seattle lose this year against San Diego and Dallas, they faced teams who were more physical and more motivated. And so I don't have any worries about Lynch or Wilson, but yesterday you certainly got a chance to see. And look, Seattle still only lost by 7. So I don't want to get carried away. This is a fantasy show. I'll get into that on some other of my shows. But don't get carried away. Don't worry. It's 1 week. Dallas is just, look, if you look to who Seattle lost to, they lost to 2-5-1 football teams, two of the teams who are certainly right now in the power rankings in the top 5. So there's not much to worry about. Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, everybody has an off game. But certainly kudos to the Dallas Cowboys, and particularly DeMarco Murray, what he was able to do against that tough defense out in Seattle. Let's move over to Washington. Washington at Arizona. We got Tempe.
We can skip that one. We can skip that one.
We got 10 minutes left in the show. And that's, again, thankfully for you, it's a fantasy show. So we're not going into details of what happened in the game. But taking a look at this one, the first thing that jumped out at us is Larry Fitzgerald. His production is attached to Carson Palmer being in the lineup. There's no question about it. 6 catches, 98 yards, a touchdown. It was no coincidence that while Drew Stanton was in there the last couple weeks, that Stanton was looking for his favorite target, John Brown. Yesterday, John Brown was nowhere around. And I think, again, when we talk about veteran quarterbacks and their understanding of what needs to take place, Carson Palmer's no fool. He knows that Larry Fitzgerald is struggling. He knows that Larry's still a good player. So he said, you know what? I'm going to make it a point to get Larry involved. And also, you've seen Michael Floyd score a touchdown. So that was the debate we had a couple weeks ago. And as long as Carson Palmer's in the lineup, you can feel comfortable at least playing Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd. If Carson Palmer's not in the lineup, then it's a different story. And, of course, with Palmer, you just hope he can stay healthy. Injuries. He's an older quarterback as well. He's not mobile, so, you know, he's a standing target. But came back and played really well yesterday. Andre Ellington had a decent game, but it was really about Larry Fitzgerald. Those 15 points were crucial. Like I said, I seen in my NFL.com league, guys cut Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald last week. I couldn't get my hands on either. I mean, I knew at some point in the season that Andre Johnson was going to get going. Fitzpatrick showed some trust in him. And for Larry Fitzgerald, you just knew that when Carson Palmer came back, at least he was going to be productive, if nothing else, and get you 50 yards and some touchdowns. As for the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, shaky, you know. It's going to be for another show. But for all the Redskins fans out there, and I know Victor hates hearing it, but as much as everybody wanted to say that Kirk Cousins was the answer at quarterback, he only has one victory under his belt, and it was against Jacksonville. So I think the problems go far beyond.
He doesn't have that victory. It went to RG3. He's finished. And I agree with you 100%. 110%.
Okay. So I think the problems go far past Cousins. Alfred Morris, there's still light for him. You know, he just had extremely tough matches playing against Seattle. Arizona's defense in the desert, we wondered about them yesterday, even losing Calais Campbell. It did not matter. That defense is just going to continue to play lights out. And DeSean Jackson, that was a debate in the preseason. Both him and Garcon, 1,300 yards receiving last year. Would both of these guys continue to be able to eat? Granted, Garcon had a touchdown yesterday, but only 41 receiving yards. Without question, DeSean Jackson is the main guy in that passing game in Washington. So if you picked up DeSean Jackson instead of Garcon, you've got to be elated. And again, it's DeSean's blazing speed. That is what is making him a top fantasy option for Kirk Cousins. Go ahead, Victor. Talk to us. We're down to 6 minutes, and we won't have to spend much time on the Philly game. So go ahead. Tell me what you're seeing going on between the Redskins and Cardinals, who, by the way, another guy came back strong yesterday. If you need a tight end, it's Jordan Reed. Also had 8 catches for 92 yards.
You stole my thunder right there. I was going to bring up Jordan Reed. But I tell you what, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I lost some money in this matchup. My skin's disappointing me again. Listen, Kirk Cousins is a three-quarter quarterback. What I mean by that is, for 3 quarters, he'll be a great fantasy quarterback. Come 4th quarter, it's done. 3 interceptions in the 4th quarter alone. Not to mention a fumble that wasn't a fumble by Mr. Roberts, who, for whatever reason, he got butterfingers yesterday. You also notice, since Pierre's not getting the ball, Roberts is getting the ball instead. You know, Lance mentioned that DeSean Jackson is a big play guy. DeSean had like 3 or 4 catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. But all the intermediary stuff went to either Reed or Roberts. And I'm going to just say it. Garcon got the sloppy seconds. He did. That touchdown was designed for him, but nothing else went his way. The last interception was thrown to Pierre, but it didn't have enough on it. I saw a few times where Cousins could have ran instead of throwing an interception or throwing an incompletion. He's a pocket quarterback. Within 2 weeks, RG3 will return. Listen to what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, and Lance. RG3 will return, and you might not see a 300-yard passer in D.C. for a couple more games, but you might see some victories. This is the point, ladies and gentlemen. Fantasy-wise, Kirk Cousins is your man. He's your man because he's going to get you over 300 yards and a few interceptions and a few touchdowns. But as a fan of the game, he's not winning us anything. He's just not. On the opposite side, I agree with you. Larry Fitzgerald is the statue, and that's what I call Carson Palmer, the statue's main guy. If you notice, he was targeted a whole lot more than Malcolm Floyd. Mr. Brown did have a few targets on him. He dropped a touchdown. It could have been a touchdown. And he had maybe 3 or 4 passes on, I think, 6 targets, if I'm not mistaken. Andre Ellington pretty much got shut down a little bit. He ran well but didn't get past 100 yards or get in the end zone, which was pretty good for me as far as my prediction on him. I don't believe that the Cardinals are a bad team. If you listen back to our summer programs, when we broke down the NFC West, I boldly predicted, and I got laughed at yet again, that the Cardinals will represent the NFC West with the Seahawks, and the 49ers will not make it. I'm not looking too dumb now, am I? Because a few years ago I said the same thing about Seattle, and they're world beaters now. Bruce Arians knows what he's doing. Fantasy-wise, these guys are loaded. I didn't even realize Tyrann Mathieu was the free safety. I thought he was the slot corner. But I was wrong. He's playing well. That's all I got.
Definitely good stuff there, man. So you feel comfortable again with Arizona's defense. Real quick before we give our predictions for the Monday night football game, the Eagles beat up on the Giants. Obviously the biggest news coming out of this one, and I advise owners to grab Odell Beckham off the waiver wire. He's one of my top waiver wire picks last week. I certainly didn't think this was going to happen as soon. I'm sad that it happened for so long, and especially to such a good guy like Victor Cruz. But obviously, Victor Cruz is done for the season with a torn patella. And so if you picked up Odell Beckham, like I advised you to, and that was part of my analysis, was that in any event that Victor Cruz or Reuben Randall went down, that Beckham's value would shoot up because he would be the starting receiver. And that's exactly what happened. Victor Cruz is done for the year, so Odell Beckham Jr. is now going to be starting opposite Reuben Randall. It was all about Philadelphia last night. The defense racked up 8 sacks. That was good for 23 points. LeSean McCoy, even though he didn't touch pay dirt, ran all over the Giants like he always does, 149 yards. Nick Foles played a decent game. He's got to find a way to cut down on his interceptions. And he's got to be more accurate with the football. I'm a little bit shocked by his inaccuracy. I had him starting last night. Could have had 4 more points because he threw 2 TDs for 248, but also threw 2 interceptions. And he's just missing. You know, he's missing some guys running open down the football field. He's actually missed Jeremy Maclin quite a bit running bomb passes this year. And so he's got to get his accuracy together. But it was all about the Eagles. The Giants did absolutely nothing. It was worth noting. Rookie Andre Williams, who replaced Rashard Jennings, only had 58 yards, and that was due to how far the game got out of hand. We're basically out of time. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. That is NFL EXPORTER. Make sure to join me each and every Monday right here on the Extra Point, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Very quickly, Victor, give me 2 names, one from each team, who are going to ball out tonight for San Francisco and St. Louis.
Okay, we can always go into overtime if you want to, Lance, but I'm going to go with St. Louis, and I'm going to say Brian Quick will have a huge game in this game. Look out for Michael Crabtree as well.
All right. No, we're going to keep it in. 45 seconds left. I like I like how we got it. Nice, tight hour and a half. For myself, I certainly hope what Victor said doesn't happen because I'm up 12, and I'm playing against Brian Quick, so let's go Niners defense. In this one, I'm going to say Frank Gore. He was one of my top 5 starts of the week for the 49ers. For the Rams, I don't know. I don't like this matchup at all for them. Rookie quarterback against 49ers defense. I guess I will go with Zach Stacy. Let's see if he finds 60 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. That's going to wrap up our show tonight. Good luck to everybody. Good luck out to my man on Facebook, Mike, who needs a Phil Dawson 15 points to win. I am the NFL Exporter. Thank you for joining the Extra Point. We are out of here, 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock.